hear people talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my countrymen, they're walking on the fight beside me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting and falling down to me. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down the countryman, you're walking on the fighting side of me.
I'm just trying to help. And I have to clarify.
Just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They learn our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. When they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm if you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. You're running down my country, man. You're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting and falling down to you. If you don't love it, leave it. I'm singing, be warned. And you're running down my country, man. You're walking on the fight beside me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me. And that's the name of this program here on altrighttv.com or whiteresistanceradio.com. You can reach us through either portal. Well, from the... frankly, ma'am, I don't give a damn. category of news stories, and actually this is probably actually a good story, come to think of it. China urges citizens not to travel to Australia. China's Ministry of Culture and Tourism on Friday advised the public, that's in Red China, to avoid traveling to Australia, citing racial discrimination and violence against Chinese in connection with the COVID-19 pandemic. I doubt violence. But, I mean, some people don't appreciate the fact that Red China's lies and filthy habits gave the world this curse, which has devastated economies. Okay, and killed many people, too. Quote, there's been an alarming increase recently in acts of racial discrimination and violence against Chinese and Asians in Australia due to the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic, the ministry said in a statement. It did not give any specific examples of such discrimination or violence. Asians of various backgrounds have said that they have been harassed since the outbreak of the coronavirus, including in the United States. Well, you know, harassed, that's kind of strong. People are a little bit leery of that, you know, a little bit surprising. This is not a good time to be a policeman. we have floor-flushing whores as politicians. We have some chiefs of police who might just as well be Antifa. They have so surrendered to the mob. I'm not suggesting there are no problems. Yeah, there are. And there are a few bad policemen, no doubt about it. However, the demonization of police and then the widespread talk of defunding police, we talked about that on a recent program, whether it be, I mean, almost impossible to imagine abolishing the police force, then all you would have is thugs, gangsters, and in areas where the civilians can still be armed, well, civilians having to organize to fight back, which is really what the police force was about in the first place. Less radically, there's talk of a massive movement of police from a reduction of police budgets and movements of responsibilities that are now undertaken by the police to other agencies. I might deal with that on a future program. But anyway, in Buffalo, New York, the other day, a 75-year-old white man was shoved by police because they were trying to enforce a curfew. Now, you know, so far the brief videos of the incident taken on cell phones could be a bit ambiguous. Several police officers seem to one shoves him, and another seems to move him along with his nightstick or baton. How exactly are we to interpret this? Well, anyway, the man fell down and hit his head and is in hospital with somewhat undetermined injuries. On the surface, it looks like overreaction. On the other hand, what are police supposed to do when there's a curfew in place and people simply ignore it? Anyway, it's a problem that you I think society has to grapple with. Anyway, two officers of the Special Response Force have been suspended, and the entire Special Response Force, all the officers have resigned. So they remain police officers, but they say, look, if you're going to do this to us as we fulfill our duties, or try to, you know, we're not going to do it. You know, well, let's go and write parking tickets or something. Now, you know, this is a real problem with management. And the tendency of politicians, especially left-wing politicians, is to give in to the mob. Now, I'm not saying we should go along with abuse of police powers, but this is, of course, a great moment, especially for any minority, to wail and complain that they've been discriminated against. Now, in the Buffalo case, it was not a minority, it was a white man. Well, here is a good example of exactly what I mean. Montreal man says rough arrest caught on video racially motivated. Now, you have to read all the details to get the picture. Alleged he was dragged from the car by dreadlocks. Okay, you already know he's a Negro. A Montreal man says he's been left traumatized following an arrest by police north of the city in the suburb of Laval, in which he was allegedly dragged from a car by hair and struck. Samuel, who did not want to give his last name because he's fearful of police. Okay, Sam, now, this is where, if I were the editor, I'd stop the story. If we're not going to get a name of a man who makes serious accusations, if we're not going to be, if he's not got enough guts to give his name and say, this is who I am and this is what I say happened to me, then it's not a story. I could make this stuff up. It's bullshit, quite frankly. We later find out he has probation conditions, which means you got it. He's a criminal. You got it. So, his name is already, in some sense, public. This is, quite frankly, propagandistic bullshit, and I'm surprised or disappointed to see the National Post, which is a sort of neocon newspaper that sometimes has conservative writers, falling for it. Anyway, Samuel said the incident took place when he was in a car with two friends on May 25th. A two-part video of the incident published online appears to show a Laval police officer standing outside a car asking a male passenger several times to get out of the vehicle as the man asks why he's under investigation. put your hands on the vehicles, one of the two police officers is heard say. For what reason? The man answers. After Samuel asks again why he's being investigated, an officer responds, if you don't get out of the vehicle, I'll arrest you for obstruction. Moments later, an officer can be seen reaching into the vehicle and dragging the man out onto the sidewalk by his dreadlocks. Okay, well, we'll stop the narrative there for a moment. What's the problem? I think you have a right to ask, well, what's it all about? However, when the policeman says, if you don't get out of the vehicle, I'll arrest you for obstruction. Now, at that point, the man is courting arrest. He's being given a clear instruction, get out of the vehicle, or I will arrest you for obstructing police. Now, where you fight this, and I was talking to a fellow who's been to jail yesterday for a long, long time ago, and has had a lot of unfortunate dealings with police in a relatively limited area of the province of Ontario, where it's hard to be anonymous. Anyway, he said, this is exactly the wrong, would be exactly the wrong way to handle something. If you've got a beef with the way the police are behaving, where you're going to fight it is, that's right, in court. When and if this ever goes to court, that's where you fight it. You're not going to win a battle in a car or on the sidewalk with a police officer, with several police officers. It's not a smart way to move. But many, not all, but many Negroes are defiant. They've got a bad attitude. Now, this has to be kind of factored into this this story. He's got a bad attitude, and he's defiant. Anyway, the story continues, but I think you have to kind of note that. The second video appears to show one officer striking the man as he and his partner kneel over him on the sidewalk, ordering him to stop resisting and to put his hands behind his back, as the man claims he can't because he's being held. Samuel said he was later released with a ticket for not obeying physical distancing rules. He said he's now mentally suffering and traumatized from the incident, which he said left him afraid to go outside and run into police, and he's pursuing legal action against the city for what he believes is racial profiling incident. Which means he claims he was pulled over just because I'm black. Well, maybe a little bit more than that. Notice he was continued to resist and struggle with the police. Well, which might be the reason that the second video, there are two videos, different videos of the incident, show one officer striking him, because the guy continues to be obstreperous. Now, it's laying it on a little thick when a guy who's obviously a criminal, although we're not told what he had done that earned him a prison sentence, but let's say he's no angel, this guy. He's traumatized. He's afraid to go out on the street for fear he runs into police. you got to say, this is a little thick. This is a little bit much. There's an awful lot of drama, and you want to take this with with a grain of salt. I would say probably with a whole shaker of salt. A police spokesman for the Laval police said the video doesn't show everything, including reasons for the police stop, but that's kind of important. Of course, she can no longer really make much comment on because it's the subject of an investigation. Sergeant Genevieve Major said the man could face charges of breaking probation, obstruction, and assaulting a police officer. But it's up to the Crown, or in the state you call them, district attorney, to decide on that. That's kind of important, too, isn't it? The guy's on probation. He's breaking probation. He's probably not supposed to have been out at that time of day. and the police department a response to the notion of, well, this is racial profiling. He was just pulled over because he's a Negro. She pointed out that the Laval police received 8 racial profiling complaints out of 150,000 interventions in 2018, the most recent year for which data is available. Of those, 3 were ultimately investigated by the police ethics board. Mathematically speaking, she says, in looking at the numbers, you can't say 1 to 3 complaints per year investigated by police ethics represents racial profiling. No, it doesn't appear that was the reason he was pulled over. He's pulled over because he's black. We don't know the full circumstances, but I think it's fairly safe to say that every black with a chip on his shoulder, and there's certainly a lot of them, are going to be filing complaints right now. It's going to be a difficult time to be a policeman. Here's Lou Rockwell's report, and I'll tell you, I was immediately sold on the title of the piece by the headline, "The Weimar United States." Now, of course, the Weimar Republic was the government of Germany from roughly 1919 through to 1933, when the National Socialists won the election. it was a time of incredible corruption, widespread Jewish control of the media, a burgeoning drug and porn and rampant degeneracy, which eventually led to, helped pave the way for the National Socialists to take office. Anyway, Weimar is a synonym for corruption, and so the Rockwell report reads: "This is from a former high-level member of the CIA in a note to me. Bear in mind that we have about 100 million well-armed citizens, many of whom have military training. Even the U.S. Army would be unable to stand up against this force if it decided the government had ceased to protect its people and uphold the Constitution." Or, to put it slightly differently, no longer operated in the interests of the people. "As we have written, the leadership of the United States abdicated its duty to the nation when they shut it down over a not very significant flu. They have forced from their jobs nearly half the working population as a form of national suicide. What we have seen in the streets is a similar situation to Weimar Germany, as the German nation faced in the 1920s and early 1930s when the communists were rioting in the streets. We have only seen in the streets the actual problem in America. We have not seen the counter-revolutionary consequences. We have warned repeatedly that 50% unemployment will cause a counter-revolutionary upheaval. It's coming," says the Rockwell report. How should we define a worst case scenario? The total unemployed today is said to be, just in the last 6 weeks, 36.5 million Americans out of 155.7 million who were employed, or 23%, just 2% below the 1933 depression peak. It would be fair to say the U.S. has unemployment of roughly 23%, which is only 2 ticks lower than what at the very depths of the Depression. But that is not the true figure. For 1933, the frustrated workers unemployed for a year from 1929 were included, which today is not counting another 22% before the 6 weeks began, or 45%. There's an old adage that figures don't lie, but liars figure. Well, so the true unemployment is perilously close to 50% of the U.S. population, or U.S. workforce. You'll note that there's a chart there that about unemployment. It's important to note that in Germany in 1933, a 50% unemployment level was sufficient for the democratic overthrow of the Weimar Republic, which is another way of saying people voted Hitler into power. We have lost this for a moment. Okay. Our oligarchs on Wall Street should start feeling their necks as they may not escape as they did in 2008. It must be remembered that the National Socialist Party on May 20th, 1928, polled 2.6% of the vote. That's 5 years before Hitler was elected. The National Socialists had a fairly modest vote of just 2.86%. On September 14, 1930, it rose to 14%. On July 31, 1932, 37.4%, becoming the largest political party in Germany. It was a movement that came from nowhere, thrust up by massive unemployment. But I don't totally agree with this man's analysis. There were other reasons, but that's certainly part of it. An analysis of federal data conducted by a team headed by the Yale School of Public Health found that the U.S. recorded 15,400 excess deaths between March 1st through April 4th, almost twice the number attributed to the coronavirus. In that time period, 8,128 coronavirus fatalities were reported. What this means is that there has been an increased number of deaths in April, from April to May over last year that may be due to the coronavirus. But the comments below the question this premise. There's a report from an Italian correspondent explaining why this is happening. In brief, it's because, at least in the U.S., the hospitals have been largely abandoned by the masses of the U.S. population. Causing substantial layoffs of hospital doctors and personnel. People with heart attacks and strokes are afraid to go to the emergency rooms lest they develop the coronavirus. Our correspondent believes that this has caused a huge spike in the number of deaths. We are looking at the potential collapse of the entire hospital system of the United States if this keeps up. Also, doctors in the hospitals are falsifying the death certificates to ascribe the deaths to coronavirus, so as to be able to receive larger death benefits from the federal government, which pays more for coronavirus deaths. I mean, this is nutsoid territory. I don't mean the article, but I mean what the article reveals. It's frightening. What is happening? And many people have said this. This is not the first time I've seen this. That it is economically advantageous in the United States for a hospital to claim that somebody died of the coronavirus. It is not as economically advantageous if that person dies of something else. This is bizarro territory. Absolutely bizarro. And this continues. This means that the death rates for the coronavirus may be overstated by double or triple what they actually are. If I may digress for just a moment, to take another highly advanced country. Now, conditions do differ. I will admit that. But Japan. Japan has recorded only about 800 deaths from coronavirus, even though they were the landing point, or eventual docking point, I guess, of one of the very infected cruise ships, if you remember, way back to late January, early February, and there's a tremendous fear that the coronavirus was going to get out and devastate Japan. Well, they largely contained it. They didn't completely shut down their economy. They've reopened their economy. And the death toll is, of course, 800 and change is not a nice thing, of course, but it's a minor problem. It's not a minor problem, of course, if you got it, but to put this in some sort of perspective.
something that is sorely lacking, I'm afraid, in many of these discussions, some sort of perspective. So it would appear that the death toll is much lower than what we've been told. But that has been used as an excuse to badly damage the economy. And the author here says, this is reminiscent of George Bernard Shaw's questioning why we should think that doctors are any less corrupt than our politicians. This is this is covered in detail in Mr. Shaw's preface to his famous play. This is called The Doctor's Dilemma. Anyway, this would also mean that the main killer, as this report from Italy suggests below, is not the coronavirus, but the mass reaction to the coronavirus. Number one, the terror of this virus has spread all over the world, creating mass fear. And you know, I think on some previous programs, I've talked about individuals I know who, I mean, are on the borderline of mental illness. They're so afraid. Since everybody is now concerned about the coronavirus, and since people are aware that this virus is very contagious, as well as doctors being afraid of it, the doctors are focusing their attention on the coronavirus and not on treating other diseases. As an example, in Italy, there have been many people dying for not receiving appropriate treatment for heart attacks, cancer, or stroke. Before coronavirus, they were treated in time. But now they're being delaying the treatment or the surgical operations to give priority to the coronavirus cases. So many of the people who have these other ailments have died unnecessarily. Many doctors attribute the cause of death on the death certificates to coronavirus to avoid responsibility for the negligence that could lead to lawsuits, believe it or not. That there's an economic incentive to lie. So we cannot rely on the official statistics as they are flawed. In the U.S. hospitals are reimbursed for coronavirus deaths more than ordinary ones. So many have just stated on death certificate that everyone that dies at the hospital is a victim of the coronavirus. And some hospitals and most who have other major diseases are still attributed to the coronavirus. Another point, continuing this excellent article, another point, in the first quarter of the year in 2019, in Italy there were 20,000 more deaths than in 2020. But in the month of April, we've had many more deaths than in 2019. We may have to wait for a longer period to have correct statistical data to see what this all means. But it's very interesting that the figures, the death figures, on which so much of the panic is based, are just plain false. Suicide of the West, and that's basically what this article about Weimar is talking about. It never occurred to me that the West would die by self-inflicted suicide. But this is what appears to be happening by causing a depression in economic activity by shutting the Western economies down over a virus which has not increased the overall death rate in Europe based in the study below. In addition, a large proportion of U.S. hospital deaths are being treated as coronavirus as federal aid allows a larger reimbursement for treating such deaths rather than for deaths from, heart attacks or strokes. If this is so, then the coronavirus death rate is much lower than presently estimated. European studies show that their death rates are relatively the same as in previous years. Despite tens of thousands of deaths attributed to the coronavirus. In other words, we've shut down nearly the entire economy over inaccurate information. The figures do not include May for unemployment, but now exceed the Great Depression highest unemployment figures of 25% in 1933. In 1933, Germany hit 50%. The main difference between these figures and the U.S. figures is that frustrated workers who have not been employed for over a year are not counted. And that's one of the really mischievous things about some of the unemployment figures, that they're not like true figures. Further commenting on the inadequate response of many U.S. politicians to the riots, and that's what many of them are. Some are peaceful protests, but many of them are riots. This is from Tucker Carlson, and I'm just trying to get this. Now here's a story of that touches so many interesting bases. One of the bases is the utter secrecy maintained by the police on certain things. More contemptuous of Canada's right to know what's going on in the criminal justice system. I emphasize that this isn't prurient curiosity. It's our system. We pay for it. We have a right to know. Anyway, it has to do with a member of parliament who a couple months ago was arrested back in April. Now, this is June the 7th I'm recording this on. So, no information about this had come out until very recently, and even when it now became public, the information we have is very limited. add to this, of course, the delicious hypocrisy of some of this man's statements. So this is a member of parliament that represents a riding in southwestern Ontario, Kingston and Cambridge. Kitchener and Cambridge. Liberal MP named Marwan Tabara. And that's kind of interesting. A third worlder. And you're always hearing about racism and discrimination and so on. Now, this is an overwhelmingly European area. It's a very heavy German population, maybe not a majority, but pretty close to it. Marwan Tabara was born in Beirut, Lebanon. He's obviously non-white. we'll keep hearing about racism. It's just so hard for these people to get accepted and all. This is just total bunk. Anyway, here's the story. Member of Parliament Marwan Tabara said he's stepping back from the Liberal caucus but not resigning as an MP following revelations he was criminally charged with assault, break and enter, and criminal harassment. We're not told was the victim of the assault, or the break and enter, or the criminal harassment. Why not? Good question. Tabara, 35, was charged with two counts of assault, one count of break and enter, and committing an indictable offense, and one count of criminal harassment back in April for an alleged incident that occurred in a neighboring Ontario riding. Now, that's kind of interesting. Why the rather coy description of the geography, a neighboring riding? Well, does that mean that the news report actually knows where it occurred? In which case, why not name the municipality? But it's kind of interesting. Neither the Guelph police nor the Trudeau government revealed. Actually, Guelph is a different city, is a city in a different riding. I find the wording interesting. It's a neighboring city to Kitchener, just east of Kitchener. Neither the Guelph police nor the Trudeau government revealed the charges to the public until this is the newspaper, the National Post, and two other media organizations directly asked police about them on Thursday. I think what had happened was that somebody leaked and there was a tip. Well, what the or read just a little differently. What this means is that this whole thing was covered up. You know, here's a government that goes on and on about transparency and all that. Quote, this is tomorrow. As a proud Canadian who came to this country with his family to escape the violence of war, I deplore violence in all its forms, Tabar said in a written statement on late Friday. Well, he's charged with violence. You know, does that mean he deplores himself? Or I guess one could say he's innocent. He doesn't actually say that, though. I personally believe strongly in the right of every individual to live a life free of the hurt and trauma of physical, verbal, and emotional abuse. You're a good liberal there, aren't you? I continue to receive counseling and treatment for anxiety and depression, which I've been living with for some time. I'm sorry. You know we shouldn't laugh at the mentally infirm or the emotionally messed up, but give me a break. I continue to receive counseling and treatment for anxiety and depression, with which I've been living for a long time. Not to be nasty about it, but if you're mentally screwed up, why did you run for Parliament? I mean, we deserve people who are, you know, frankly, in their you know, have all their faculties. If he's an emotional basket case, I don't know if this is a hint at a defense. My depression may be due it, maybe assault this person, we're not told whom, and break and enter, and so on. Or anyway. Tabara is the MP for Kitchener South Hespler, and he chairs the Parliament Subcommittee on International Human Rights and sits on the Special Committee on the COVID-19 pandemic. He was arrested on April 10th in Toronto. I'm sorry, he was arrested in Guelph on April 10th. This is, brutally mathematically correct. This appeared on Saturday, so the information has come out. Fifty-seven days after the fact, not exactly very forthcoming. Despite the serious nature of the allegations and charges, Guelph police did not publicly report the arrest at the time. Not even with an MP involved. I mean, far more than, let's say a homeless person charged with something, or even a normal citizen. The public has a right to know. Now, I'm the first one to say that a person has a right to be considered innocent until proven guilty. I absolutely stand by that. But this certainly would create a certain, well, shall we say, cloud over the guy. The police declined to answer follow-up questions, including whether the alleged assault victim and alleged criminal harassment victim are the same person. What the gender or genders of the alleged victims are, and the alleged circumstances of the incident. As usual, this absolutely coined secrecy. Why can't we be told that he was charged with assault of person A, when we have the person's name and gender? I mean, is this a sexual thing? A marital breakup? The public has a right to know. First of all, we have an absolute right to know because we're paying for the system. But secondly, particularly his constituents have a right to know because he's their elected member of Parliament. There was a publication ban on the details of the allegations imposed by a judge at a bail hearing, which we didn't know anything about. And the press and did not ever, well, not knowing about it, had no opportunity to oppose that. So this is, as usual, a complete silencing. Let's see. So Tabara this week, who went on Facebook, he's all in favor of anti-racism. Quote, throughout our history, many great advocates have fought long and hard for justice, equality, and opportunity for all, he wrote on Facebook. We owe it to them, to ourselves, and to the next generation to root out racism and discrimination. We must strive for true equality of every individual, regardless of skin color, race, religion, and sexual orientation. Well, yada, 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 what a good old liberal boy. Yeah, this guy is, though, again, you know, if the charges are accurate, are sustained, he seems to have problems keeping his hands to himself. I gotta say, I just revel in the utter hypocrisy of this politically correct cultural Marxist ruling class. That is for all sort of the absolute equality of everybody. Bollocks. Absolute bollocks. Well, I'm going to change, I think, to a kind of a happier a topic. I'm just going to take my musical interlude right now. And this is Randy Travis, a great balladeer. Just has a magnificent voice. Randy Travis.
Can promise you now, this love that I feel for you always will be. You're not just time that I'm killing. I'm no longer one of those guys. As sure as I live, this love that I give is gonna be yours until the day that I die. Darling, I'm gonna love you. chair, just sitting back. I've spent a lot of time thinking of this perfect love. I know it's yours and mine. And oh, how I love that old picture on the wall of you and me and the kids. My most favorite times in life I've spent right here where we live. There's no place like home. There's no staring at her photograph. wishing she was mine. It's that same old lost love story. It's sad, but it's true. There was a time when she was mine.
Suppose I cried and said, I think I finally learned my
And I'm tired of spending all my time alone. If I told you that I realize you're all I ever wanted, and it's killing me to be so far away, would you tell me that you love me too? And would we cry together? Or would you simply laugh at me and say,
Travis, this is Paul Fromm signing off. Back with you again tomorrow, and I sign off tonight as I always do with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on AltRightTV.com or WhiteResistanceRadio.com.
In days of yore from Britain's shore, Wolfe the dauntless hero came and planted firm Britannia's flag on Canada's fair domain. Here may it wave our boast, our pride, and joined in love together, the thistle, shamrock, rose, and twine, the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf.